Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome to Fat Chat, the podcast that is very much looking forward to the vaccine. And this week we are going to be talking about surviving lockdown 2.0.
Hi, I'm Rifki from Slink Magazine, and this month I went into a shop for the first time in 10 months.
No, 10!
Yup.
Woo! And I'm George from Fuller Figure Fuller Bust, and I now have a mask for every day of the week, as well as some spare, and that to me is my biggest fashion accessory of 2020, and I'm so chuffed with all my masks. And don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you're listening, and if you want to carry on the conversation, tell us about your lockdown, share pictures of masks, tell us about your shopping experiences, we welcome it. We are at Fat Chat Pod on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. This week, the podcast is a little different from usual because we just wanted to talk about lockdown and what it's been like for us. You know, it's everyone's experiencing it. Everyone's got their own techniques with surviving different aspects of it and how it's been and how things have changed. And so this week we wanted to sort of split it into seven sections of lockdown and how we have coped and adapted and made those things work for us in this whole new socially distanced staying at home world. The first thing we wanted to talk to you about, and something that has changed considerably during this pandemic, is work life and what it's been like to adapt, to work from home, to have all of the Zoom calls. And as someone who used to take the smelly, sweaty tube into work and home from work every day and now can work from home, Rivki.
It's so crazy, isn't it? Because for the last few years, I've got on the train every morning, gone into an office, spent loads of money on coffee and food. And to think, yeah, that like in March, I stopped going into an office full time is crazy. Mm-hmm. For those of you that listen to like our comeback post-summer episode, then you'll know that I've actually changed jobs in lockdown, which I think is a whole nother whirlwind from just working at home. Because obviously, if you know, in March you came home from work and you've not really gone back into the office since, you're still probably working with all the same people. It's a bit different because you're Zooming, but you're not seeing everyone face to face. But actually starting a new job into lockdown means that you're meeting your colleagues, most of them for the first time over Zoom, which is quite crazy. And then I had to go into the office the other week and I saw someone face to face that I'd seen over Zoom, but you instantly recognize them because you see them in morning meetings and you kind of forget you haven't met.
Yeah, yeah.
Those people that had like quite a social work atmosphere before, which I did in previously, I think fashion's quite a sociable industry, to kind of lose all those sociable events, I thought I'd be really upset, but actually I've really loved not having to get the tube every day. I've saved an absolute fortune on not having to get the tube, not having to like buy pre-packeted salad and just being able to make my own lunch. But I think it's also really important to notice how much the lines start to get blurred between like work and home life balance. Before, you know, you'd be like, all right, it's 6 o'clock, I'm gonna go home now, and you have like that hour where you listen to like a podcast or some music or you watch something on your phone, and you have that break between work and home. And I think it's really hard to keep those boundaries when you work from home, because you can always be like, oh, I'll just do another 20 minutes minutes because I've not got a commute now. Mm-hmm. So like, I'll just get this bit done or I'll just get that bit done. And I think it's really hard. Not everyone has the space as well. Mm-hmm. I'm quite lucky. I have a home office. So I do have a room that I can kind of just close the door. But I'm a massive workaholic. Anyone that knows me will tell you I'm a workaholic. So I'm terrible about creating boundaries. Mm-hmm. But what's it been like as a freelancer? Because mm-hmm. I feel like for freelancers, this time has been super scary.
Yeah, definitely. At the beginning of lockdown, I was losing work left, right and centre. People didn't know what was going to happen. And I think a lot of companies were suddenly like, we don't know if we've got the budget for this because we don't know what's going to happen. And you're a freelancer and, you know, the contracts are very different. So we're going to just shut down that and take half of that. And this thing that we said we were going to do with you, can we put it on the back burner? And it's now about loungewear and activewear. And, you know, we don't really want to push party clothing and summer clothing. People aren't going away anymore. And then it changed and everyone was going away and having staycations and bikinis and nice dresses and things suddenly were pushed. And it's all very much like day by day, week by week, trying to figure out what companies are promoting, what my followers want, because there was a big sense as well that my followers still wanted me to post very normal things because they wanted a sense of normality and the hope that things would go back to normal. And then the odd, you know, comment like, why are you posting all these pretty dresses? We're not going anywhere. Some of us don't have the money to spend. And it's trying to like navigate, what is my purpose in all of this? Like, what am I bringing to the table and showing people? And it took me a few weeks, maybe a month, to sort of figure out a bit of a rhythm with stuff and what I wanted to post and what I wanted to share. And definitely where I lost money, I was also in the same way as you, Ricky, saving money from not going into London for shoots or meetings or press events or things like that. And, you know, you did find a bit of a better balance with, like you say, you know, not grabbing that £7 salad and £2 bottle of drink when you're out, you know, making more food at home. You noticed how your outgoings and your ingoings did sort of like lessen off a little bit. But Robbie and I got into a nice sort of rhythm with going out and doing a lot of photos, trying to create content. I was still trying to do shopping hauls, still just trying to work out where to pitch things. But I did notice that where I'm so used to like working from home, even before lockdown, I was doing some kind of Zoom meetings and calls. I just assumed if I'm working from home and they are talking to me as an influencer and I'm there, I will not look bedraggled, but I might still be in a pajama top and with sort of my hair in a bun, because usually when I'm chatting with people over meetings, it's people I already know or people I've already talked to or people who don't mind what I look like. I've definitely seen Robbie, he is from the waist up, top half dressing, you know, wearing something smart to be on these meetings and calls. And he works out of his room, so he's made sure that everything you can see behind him in the background is very professional looking, which I think, you know, part of me is like, that's really good, he's keeping it professional. But it also makes me a bit sad that, like, even in our house, it's like we have to make sure our house is office suitable, when it shouldn't matter in a time like this. As long as what you're saying to people and the way you're working reflects what's going on, people should accept that if you're working from home, what you're wearing and what your environment looks like is a little different. But yeah, generally I have found it quite pleasant when I sort of got out of the rut of feeling like I was never going to be able to sort of work in this industry again. And like, who knows what this industry and blogging and fashion will look like, you know, in terms of people's budgets, in terms of companies' budgets, in terms of like the hit that the economy and everyone has taken. And it's trying to be sensitive to that, and but also being sensitive to the fact that, as I said, lots of people still want normality. So my answer is it's changed, and I do feel a bit nervous about what the future's got in store, but it feels like, especially this time around, things are just a bit more stable.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting about that idea of our homes having to be office ready mm-hmm. as well. I mean, come on guys, metaphorical hands up for anyone that absolutely loves trying to like see what their colleagues' homes look like. True. Come on, we all do it. It's really interesting. So I did my home office last year. The roof had fallen in, so it needed to be redone, and I got it redone, and I spent ages like painstakingly like getting photos of my work and stuff printed for the walls, and I barely used it. And then about 3 weeks before like anything was really happening here in March, I bought an office chair because I was like, well, that will encourage me to sit in there after work and like work on Slink and just use the room more. And then March came and like I basically just moved into my office It's quite nice, I think, though, to have that sort of worky feeling and not feel like you're working on your dining room, which I think so many people are having to do. And I think, yeah, creating that boundary is really hard. But it's not just dressing the room that you talked about, getting dressed as well. The temptation. I mean, in those first few weeks in March, I definitely wore athleisure, as one might refer to it. And then I got to a point where I was like, you have a wardrobe full of clothes that you're just ignoring now. Like, you need to start getting dressed again because it makes you feel better. It makes you feel like you're heading into work. And I think that's like, in terms of like a mental health, compartmentalizing a work day, getting up, getting showered, getting dressed is really important part of that.
I mean, it's gone from, because, you know, me working from home, I would always pretty much wear pajamas around the house because I wanted to be comfy. And it's, yeah, it's gone from me answering the door to like a parcel delivery at one in the afternoon and then saying, sorry, did I wake you? And me being like, no, to people just being like, you're in pajamas, so is everyone else in this street. But I definitely found the fact that I was still doing blog photos and, you know, I saw a lot of people being like, I haven't brushed my hair since February. I haven't put makeup on since March. I had this extreme spectrum of clothing from me just being in pajamas, me being in bikini in my garden, and then me being full corsets, headdresses, hair and makeup, while Robbie and I tried to just sort of create a bit of magic and do some photos and do stuff outside and get some content and get the creative juices flowing and break up the weekend a bit. So I feel like in lockdown,
I mean, George, that's not different for you.
No,
that's just your normal life. Lockdown's not really happened over there, has it?
No, I feel like it has been very normal dressing for me. The only thing I drew the line at was wearing jeans. They did feel unnecessary. They are the kind of thing that I would only wear if I were maybe going out somewhere or something like that. I wore some jeans for some blog photos, but I didn't wear them out.
I've not put jeans on since March and I'm scared.
What?
I keep looking at them.
Jeans are unnecessary.
Like, I look at them and I think, what would that feel like? And then I chicken out of it and just put them back in the cupboard. It is such an interesting one. And in fact, it's like that flip side where you said you used to apologise for putting pyjamas on and now we're apologising for getting dressed because we're like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Who cares?
We'll touch on house parties and things in a bit, but even like chatting with friends on Zooms and house parties, I could either just stay really slobby or I'll go so far the other way and this is my chance to like actually put some nice clothes on and do my hair and makeup. I gotta be honest, personally, most of the time I just took the slobby route. Usually I was eating something on those calls, the cat would have her arsehole in the background, I'm in my pajamas. That's just lockdown, George.
Just a normal standard day.
Another thing that I have seen a lot of people talk about that has changed in lockdown is the way that we are cooking, eating, drinking. I was fortunate enough to still be able to host one of my retreats that I do with Hayley in Turkey. It's a gorgeous, like, body confident week away, fully catered. And a lot of the girls were like, oh my goodness, this is the first time since February, since March, that I have not cooked meals. Like, this is so nice. This is amazing. Someone else can cook for me and clear up for me. I'm so bored of like making up meals and stuff. How have you found it with cooking?
I mean, you know me, I'm like you, I absolutely love cooking. I think the big difference is all of us, so I still live at home with my family, so we've all been at home and we've like been shielding my parents, so we've not been going to supermarkets or any or shops or anything. So I think the biggest change for us was really organizing ourselves, and I took charge of that because I'm a bit of a sergeant major bossy boots, but I took charge of it. We shop really local now,
which by the way, you know, what is the first shop you went into? Was that a food shop?
Oh yeah, because it was like whilst lockdown was lockdown 2.0 had started, so we went and we got some little bits from the newsagent, and I was with Dan and we got out and I was like, oh wow. And he was like, what? And he was like, oh my god, you've not been into a shop at all. And I was like, no, people, wow.
Checkout, pay with a card.
I know, it's like, it was crazy. I was just like pottering around and like looking at like shelves of magazines and stuff, and I was like, oh my god, this is so overwhelming. But also really fun. It was a tiny newsagent as well. It wasn't like we even went to, I haven't done a supermarket yet because I love a supermarket shop. I love going food shopping because I love cooking.
Yeah,
so we've just been super organized. We've been getting local green grocery deliveries. We've had everything delivered. I've done loads of batch cooking so that I didn't have to cook every night, because I think that would be quite hard. I've really enjoyed it, actually. I've enjoyed, because I've not been traveling to and from work, mm-hmm. I can spend a bit more time cooking.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, I think as well, when everything, especially in like first lockdown, when everything was really stressful and you couldn't see anyone and no one knew what was going to happen, and the world felt even more topsy-turvy, I found it a really good way of relaxing and kind of just owning something and taking control of a little space in my life where I was like, right, there's lots of things I can't control, but I can make sure that we're all eating really healthily, really nutritiously, mm-hmm. so that if, you know, someone in the family does get ill, then I know that we've had loads of good nutrition to kind of help with that. So I think, like, from a mental health point of view, I've found it really, really good to be able to do loads of cooking and feel like I'm looking after my family. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, cooking is very love much language. Intertwined with love.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's my way of showing my family that I care, that I'm looking after them, that everyone's being really well fed. To be fair, my parents have loved it. My mum says it's like being in a restaurant. She's like not missing cooking at all. And then when Dan came to stay with us, he's an amazing cook.
Oh, nice.
And so we both just got in the kitchen every day. And my mum was like, it's like having a different restaurant each night. So she's freaking loving it. It's great. I have done a few takeaways.
Yeah.
I don't really miss most restaurants that much, because there's not like loads of restaurants that I love that I miss. Mm-hmm. I'm cool with the cooking. That's like it's something I don't really miss that much at all, not eating out.
Be honest, have you cooked any banana bread?
I haven't, actually.
You haven't done lockdown?
I've thought about it. I've been buying bananas, but then everyone keeps bloody eating them before they're too ripe for the banana bread. So
don't they know?
I have thought about it.
It's a lockdown rite of passage. Banana bread.
How many banana breads have you made?
Genuinely none as well. Robbie's got into making, he doesn't really cook, but we're getting there with some stuff. So there was this incredible recipe on Steph Ellswood's page. She used to be Healthy Chef Steph. And it was for a in inverted commas, healthy flapjack. But basically, it was a flapjack that wasn't too full of like butter and things like that. And it's the kind of thing that Robbie would eat before going for a run. It's full of very efficient fuel, I guess. So he has made some with overly ripe bananas. They're sort of there as like the sticking agent. And they're like peanut butter, honey, banana flapjacks. So that's what he has made with bananas. But yeah, it's not really my thing. I cook a lot anyway. Like a lot of people I know were like missing going out and eating out. I maybe the same as you, like I do like to eat out. Don't get me wrong. I love a restaurant. I love being waited on and picking things from a menu. But it was never part of my week that I would have at least one or two meals out. I think for the majority, I cook and eat from home anyway. And working from home for the most part means I'm forever cooking my own meals. And I actually prefer it. I am a bit of a control freak with food. Friends will attest that when I go out, I'm like, can I just have a bit of this as well? Can you add a bit more lemon to this? I'm one of those annoying people. Can I have a bit of this sauce and that?
You really are quite annoying. I'm glad you never came to the restaurant I work in.
In so many ways, I'm annoying, but particularly with food. But like, I'm very much like, I know what flavors I like, and I do like to try new things, but I sort of am like, oh, I just would like to add a little bit of this and that to that. So me cooking and cooking from home, like the whole way through lockdown, has just meant that I can just play with all the flavors I want. Robbie, the human dustbin, I give him all the bits of food that are on the turn, have been in the Tupperware for a few too many days. It's meant I can control the fridge nicely. Robbie and I were doing a sort of flip between like supermarket shops and supporting local. So every few weeks we would go to the farm shop and get really nice local produce from the butchers there and the vegetables and stuff. And there's a really nice butchers in town as well. We're trying to sort of still find joy in food and like different food experiences and splash out like a little bit every so often to compensate for the fact that we're not eating out and going out and drinking out for Robbie and things like that. And we're trying to have takeaways. I think maybe we go one or two a month, if that, to try and have those little treat days and little treat in terms of it, not food treat, but in terms of treating us to not cooking. I've really enjoyed it. I've gone, actually at the moment I'm making, it sounds grim, but bear with me guys, I'm making a lot of bone broth at the moment. So I'm cooking a lot of chicken or getting lamb bones or beef bones from the butchers and throwing them in the slow cooker for a day with like celery and onion and leek. and reducing that all down. And it's meant to be very good for you, especially in the winter, keeping up your health and your immune system. Because I have also started having acupuncture. I've gone full into the holistic side. Yeah, so she was recommending bone broth as something that's really good. And Robbie is loving it. It's like having like a cup of soup, I guess. But we've got like pots and pots of bone broth. I've got bones in the freezer ready to make more. I am really enjoying using up stuff from the cupboard. Like I put this on my stories the other day that I found in the cupboard when I went through one of my healthy phases, and I bought loads of dark chocolate, loads of chocolate bars that went off 2 years ago. But I think with chocolate, unless mold's coming off
it's fine.
And cooking chocolate tastes a little bit like off chocolate anyway. So I found all these biscuits that were a little bit on the turn, all this chocolate. And I, instead of throwing it all away, I invested more time and money into it and made loads and loads of tiffin and Rocky Road. So
it's a bit like a MasterChef invention test, isn't it? That's how I see it.
Honestly.
Or like, Ready Steady Cook, when they tip out the bag and they're like, go. That, I love stuff like that when it's that coming just before a new shop.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've just got like, I've got three or four random things and I'm like, right, what can I do with them? Okay, I've got half an hour, go.
Challenge.
Yeah, I feel like I'm on my own cooking show. I love it.
The weirdest thing I made recently, sorry guys, cooking was always going to be the log one. I had a bit of spinach that was on the turn. I had just a few, like a little bit of sweet corn left in the bag in the freezer. I had some cream cheese and weirdly bread sauce that I'd made a few days ago for the roast. And those things just
knowing
all together.
Knowing you like I do, bread sauce as a spare ingredient doesn't actually sound weird for you.
I've got about 8 different packets of bread sauce in the cupboard right now that I bought last year on offer after Christmas that is still fine. Bread sauce is my one.
What did you make? Like a...
Oh yeah, no, yeah. I blitzed down the spinach. I blitzed up the sweet corn. I stirred in the bread sauce. I stirred in the cream cheese. I might have put a little parmesan in there. There was maybe a bit of onion in there. It was just sort of a weird nutmeggy cream spinach sweet corn combo. I can't waste food, okay? So I make more
was
food.
Was it a soup?
No, it was like a side. I guess almost like you would have in Indian food, almost like a sort of like sagaloo side, but... My version, just saggy loo. That's what we'll call that. That was made by me.
And while I've absolutely enjoyed like cooking and despite the fact that I like actually used to go out to eat a lot because of work, I've not really missed restaurants. God, I miss the gym so much because my gym was near my old work and my PT was there. And I definitely will train again once things are a little bit more settled. I've not really felt like I can go back to a gym environment. Mm-hmm. I've been doing workouts from home, but one thing I've actually like really, really, really gotten into is yoga.
Yes.
So shout out to Tanya Will, who I do my yoga sessions with once a week. I used to train with her a couple of years ago, and then she was running Zoom classes during the first part of lockdown, and I couldn't make the yoga class because I was at work. So I thought, well, I'm not doing PT sessions, so I'll pay for yoga sessions instead. Mm-hmm. So I do yoga with her once a week, which has been absolute lifesaver, like such an anchor to my week.
Just one-on-one or like a group thing?
One-on-one on Zoom.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, so we do it over Zoom, one-on-one. I just feel like it really grounds me for the week. Mm-hmm. It means that I know I'm doing some kind of activity because I've been pretty rubbish. I've pretty much been inside since March. Mm-hmm. I stopped walking even, and I love walking. And I absolutely stopped going anywhere. I would do like my garden workouts. I bought a punch bag for the garden.
Nice.
And I would maybe go outside on like a Sunday morning and do like a boot camp and then yoga once a week. But like it got to the point where I realized I hadn't been on a walk for like 7 months.
But I think you represent someone who was shielding with vulnerable people, who was just, the virus was such an unknown. I just think as much as you're maybe like berating yourself a little bit, you also were just doing something that was out of care and love for your family, and that has to be appreciated. And like it's so good that you adapted to do things to still make your headspace happy while keeping your loved ones safe, because we didn't know what the situation was with the virus, how easy it would be to contract it if you were out for a walk. It must be so appreciated by your family that you took every measure to just really change aspects of your your life to keep your headspace happy and to keep them safe.
Oh yeah, and I think we've started going for walks in the evening, me and my little brother, and we go for like a sort of hour long walk now every night. Mm-hmm. Just because I was like, we both need it. And even if I wouldn't have exercised, I would have walked half an hour, 15 minutes to and from the tube every day. Mm-hmm. I would have walked out to go and get my lunch. So like all those little things are missing, because really all I do is walk down the stairs, sit at my desk and walk to the kitchen and back. Mm-hmm. So I think just finding ways to be a bit active. But yeah, the yoga's been amazing. We're starting to do inversions and do crow, which is like balancing on your arms. And I'm learning to do a headstand, which I never would have done. It's really good for flexibility.
So good.
I found that, like, although it's not obviously, because I was like really into my boxing, which I still am, and I still can't wait to get back to boxing and doing proper weightlifting, mm-hmm. and all of those things, I think doing the yoga has like just been really nice and calming, mm-hmm. as well, and really nice calming point of my week, but also like that nice challenge that I kind of needed to like test my flexibility and work on my flexibility and like keep all of those things going. But you've been back to the gym, haven't you? Obviously not at the minute because of lockdown 2.0, but how was it going back into a gym environment?
I would say though, going back to the gym was great. They took a lot of safety measures and precautions, and I didn't feel that unsafe, and you can check on the app how many people are there beforehand. But I feel like a lot of what we've talked about is us lockdown 1.0 versus lockdown 2.0. I feel lockdown 2.0, I have not been as on it with my working out as I was in lockdown 1.0. So I feel like maybe going back to the gym for that little bit like almost reset me, and I wasn't so on it in terms of like keeping up with the exercise. In lockdown 1.0, I was doing Zoom and Face Party and WhatsApp, all like video calls with friends where we take it in turns to shout an exercise and do like 40 seconds on, 15 seconds off HIIT workouts in my living room, like using wine bottles for weights, because believe it or not, with a full wine bottle, if you do something for long enough, it does ache in your shoulders.
Can you drink it afterwards?
Not me personally, but Robbie did a very good job of it. I do not drink. Yeah, I mean, if they're empty, not so good, guys. So full wine bottles only.
Yeah, shame.
I've got a barbell, which I, at the beginning of lockdown, only had a 10 kilo bar with 4x10 kilo plates. So I could only do 10, 30 or 50 kilo exercises. Plates were like gold dust. But when the lockdown eased off, the prices eased off as well. So I managed to snare myself a couple more 10s, some 5s and some 2.5s before we went back into lockdown and the prices hoiked back up. So now I am very much enjoying doing more like barbell workouts. Actually, as we speak, in my car park by my garage is my gym friend and her boyfriend doing workouts with my barbell, because it's an outside environment and they've come over to use stuff, and obviously I'm not there, so they can do stuff together without having to worry about social distancing and stuff. In lockdown 1.0, I was HIIT working out, I bought a bike and things like that. This time around, I'm actually trying, and I don't like walking, but I'm trying to go on more walks. So after this, I'm doing a dog walk with a friend. I've got another one lined up next week. I'm trying to walk to more places that I would usually drive to. So like the butcher's is like an hour round walk. I can do that. Walk there and then walk back with loads of meat strapped to my back in my backpack. You know, that's a workout. A lot of the time with lockdown and working out, people are thinking they have to be doing what they do in the gym in order to be working out. And we need to remind ourselves, and it's something we spoke about in our exercise episode with the amazing Dom, we need to remind ourselves that working out doesn't just look like weightlifting or Pilates or a spin class. It literally can be you pushing your toddler up a hill, getting some shopping and pushing them home. It can be you walking a dog. It can be you cleaning the house or something like that. A lot of us are beating ourselves up for not keeping up with a routine and a schedule and doing what we would do in the gym. But actually, you need to remind yourselves there are so many ways that if you want to move your body, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. It's a pandemic. We're all not feeling good. If exercise is one of the last things on your mind, that's fine. Concentrate on all the other things first. But I think, like you saying, Rivki, you going for a walk and like the ways you adapted, and like I've definitely found that I'm trying to be more relaxed about the fact that I'm not doing my crazy HIIT workouts, but I am doing my weightlifting and my walking and making sure I'm getting a few sessions of that in every week for my headspace, for my strength, for my stamina, to sleep better, to just feel like my body just is keeping on. And you know, it does keep up with immunity and things like that when you're like strengthening everything and strengthening your heart. So yeah, things have changed. Feels a bit bleaker doing it all in the winter, I have to say, but I think for both of us, we have found a new normal with working out.
Yeah, and I think that's such an important thing of like like you said, like we talked about with Dom, just realizing that just doing a bit of movement will make you feel better. I often don't feel in the mood to, let's say, do yoga, but I feel so much better after I've done it. Mm-hmm. Hold on to those feelings of how you feel after that walk, mm-hmm. or after whatever you've done, or just realizing that, yeah, just your daily tasks can also be like intuitive exercising, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. I actually, off the back of a hashtag that I sort of, it was actually the amazing Lottie Lamour who came up with the idea for this hashtag. I want to say like 3-4 years ago, I wanted to start a hashtag that was about fitness, but not about weight loss or thinspiration or gymspiration. And the hashtag is Chicks Get Fit Done. And it was just meant to be showing all sorts of bodies, working out, doing things and moving. And yeah, the expectation not to be about a before and an after, just about what bodies can do. And I decided a few, I'm going to say months ago now, to actually start that as a Facebook group. So I have made a private Facebook group called Chicks Get Fit Done, which is meant to be sort of no weight loss talk, no sort of like, how can I make my arm skinnier? Oh, I wish I looked like this person, or blah, blah, blah. It's meant to be like, this is the workout I did today. Guys, where can I find trainers that will support the fact that I'm heavier? Where do you guys buy your gym wear? How are you guys keeping your motivation in lockdown? Can you guys give me some ideas of exercises to do when I'm bigger and I don't want to jump so much and blah, blah, blah. So if you want to come and join that group and you've got some ideas or maybe some questions you want to ask, just search for Chicks Get Fit Done. There's 3 questions you have to answer and then you can pop on in and join the conversation.
Obviously, we had first lockdown and we were all like on Zoom and house party apps and stuff like that, and then everything like eased off over the summer and we were allowed to like socialize a little bit, even though it was like socially distanced and stuff. And now we're back in lockdown 2.0, where socializing has been, you know, outlawed, can't have people over and stuff. Outlawed, forbidden. How are you finding that, maintaining friendships and connecting with people? And, you know, I live in a house with like several other people, the fam or the housemates, as I like to call them sometimes.
The big brother house.
But sometimes if you're, let's say, if you're living with your partner or you're living on your own, how are you maintaining those friendships as well?
I communicate mainly through TikTok videos and voice notes. I definitely found in lockdown 1.0 there were all these memes. There were so many harmful memes that were created in lockdown 1.0, but one of the biggest ones I saw was like, keep an eye on your friends who are checking in on you and the ones who aren't, and maybe they weren't real friends after all, which I found to be incredibly toxic, because sometimes your friends don't have the capacity to be checking in on everyone. Sometimes, you know, there was not anything to say. And unless you were maybe going through something really upsetting, maybe your friend wouldn't think to check in on you, because, you know, it's very like, how are you? Yeah, I'm actually not good because of the lockdown. How are you? Yeah, I'm not actually not good. And sometimes if you know that your friends are maybe living with a partner or a housemate and you weren't doing so well, it was enough for you to know that they had those other people maybe they could reach out to, and you just had to do your own thing. And I think we just have to be very careful with how we have taken what our friends have been like during lockdown, because people have reacted differently. People have had other things going on. People have had other things in their life. Like, look at, for example, the horrible things that Hayley has gone through now she has cancer. She lost a friend to cancer during lockdown, and like her mental health obviously took a battering with everything. And you look at someone like that and you think, how does she even have the capacity for other people? She is someone who I genuinely, every time she reached out to me and we chatted, I was like, how do you even have the headspace to think of other things? Because you are going through so much. We just have to be mindful that our friends are going through things. And there are some friendships that you do pick back up after a few weeks or months even, where you don't see each other. So I've tried to be very mindful and check in on people. And I try and usually share funny memes and stuff to test the waters to see if people are up for chatting. I try to keep up with people by doing like house parties and Zooms. Definitely this time around, it is a very much like, how are you going? Are you used to working as normal? I've got friends who work in different sectors. One of them works in a nursery, for example. Several of them are teachers. So you're like, how is it all going? Have things changed? You just keep up where you can. You keep the WhatsApp groups going. Yeah, I've definitely found it's just hard, because if your mood is low and you don't want to bring someone down, but you want to check how they are, but you don't want to lie about how you are. My advice, it's more advice for me, this section more than anything, is just to be kind, be intuitive with how you feel, how much you can expend or how much you can take on with that friendship. And just be mindful that if other people have got people in their lives that you know are checking in on them, if you don't have the ability that day to sort of check in on that friendship, take that time for yourself and make sure you're recharging your own batteries as well. Anyway, after that very serious, deep segment, what about you, Rivki? I know you've obviously got your grotto ready.
So I decorated the shed and made it really nice. We used it quite a bit over the summer because even though things were relaxed, I still didn't really feel super comfortable about having people over. So we sort of created a little socially distanced hub in, obviously when it was nice, we could sit outside, and then we just kept the shed doors open and I decorated it with Christmas decorations and I put fairy lights in it and I've ordered some new tables and a radiator that doesn't blow out air so that it can't, like, I don't know, blow COVID around. I don't know, it safe.
No, safe, COVID safe, safety.
Because obviously we've got to keep the doors open for ventilation. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to, once that lifts, to having friends back round for dinner. So I would just always have like one friend and we'd sit at opposite ends of our big shed.
Yeah, yeah.
And just keep it socially distanced. I very much got Zoom fatigue quickly. I find it quite difficult. Dan and I had to socially distance for basically the whole of lockdown 1.0. So we were Zooming a lot and I found Zoom like quite draining because I think it's that continuous reminder that everything is not normal. One of my friends has this great phrase that she uses when you ask how she is. She says, broadly fine, which means like, this is shit, but you know, we're just getting on with it and we're just doing our best. And I think that's broadly the message for everyone, is that it's really hard. Everyone's going through it and everyone's going through different things within it. So it is that thing of just, you know, checking in on people every so often, just be like, if I've not heard from someone or like not seen them on social media, I'll just be like, hey, you're right. Two of my friends have had kids during lockdown, so we've never held their children. These really close friends, you know, friends whose weddings I went to or like grew up with or previously would spend like my weekends and stuff with. So that's been really sad and really hard. You look forward to the moment that your friends become parents and that you can play with their kids. So we're sharing a lot of pictures and videos. I deleted House Party quite quickly. Oh, I found that quite irritating.
Oh, when you go on there and someone could just chat with you and you didn't have to accept it and everyone could see you were in there and lot.
I didn't really understand what that was. I don't, and I've been to some Zoom birthday parties. I'd rather like put down the hatches for like a few months come out in 2021 and just be like, okay, we're back now. You know, a friend of mine got married during lockdown. Bless. And so none of us could go and we all had to just watch it. I think it's missing out on those big life friendship events that you kind of almost like dream of going to. You want to see those major milestones for your friends and to just watch everything on Zoom. I've got Zoom fatigue. I think especially when you use it for work as well, I want to see people. When we're out of lockdown again, I'll definitely have a friend round for dinner in the shed.
Friend round for dinner in the shed. The new expression of 2020. I've got a friend round for dinner in the shed.
Yeah, like, I mean, that to me is, I think I personally get more value out of that one-on-one evening in the shed than I do over a mass Zoom call.
We know what's happened with you, Rivki, thanks to our Welcome Back episode, but let's touch on a little more about how it was to navigate being in a relationship at a time like this. So Rivki will talk about the newer side of being in a relationship and I'm going to talk about trying not to kill your husband during lockdown.
Obviously, lockdown 1.0 was Dan and I very much socially distancing. It was really interesting actually, because literally about 2 weeks before, it'd been my birthday, so he'd met my family and he'd met all my friends finally. So it was kind of like we'd done this big crescendo and then had to be like, right, okay, see you later. We spent a lot of time sitting 2 meters apart in the garden, having like garden dinner parties,
like a Victorian romance, you know, no touching, really, yeah, just yet.
we joked that it was like a banqueting table, you know, like you see in those old Victorian films where Lady and Lord of the Manor sit at either end and discuss, you know, their day. And I think it's really hard as well, because when you're dating, you tend to do stuff and like go out. We'd been dating since October, so we'd done quite a bit of that, but then we lost that whole section of going out and doing things and shared experience in the same way,
making those memories.
We both made huge amounts of effort to keep things.
Dan made the most effort. I'm sorry, he put a ring on it. He wins.
I mean, he did make the most effort. He did put a ring on it. But I made a tea party. I baked cakes. Yeah, so we kind of did that for like March, April, May, June, July, August. God. And we went away at the end of August. Wow, I can't believe we actually did that for 6 months. Yeah. We socially distanced for 6 months. Do you know what? I think in terms of connection, it was actually amazing. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, like when sad things happened and I cried and he was just there and he couldn't give me a hug and I was just sat there like a lemon crying. That was really hard. That was hard for both of us, but I think it's said a lot for our relationship that we could do this. Mm-hmm. It's not easy by any stretch of the imagination, but we did it and I'm really proud of us for doing it. There were definitely benefits as much as it was, you know, difficult. Then we went away for a couple of weeks. Then we got engaged on the last day of our trip. We're just planning the wedding at the minute and just working out whether we'll have a wedding or whether it will be a Zoom wedding.
You're bubbling together now, like lockdown 2.0. Very different to lockdown 1.0.
We're bubbling for like 6 weeks, so not forever. So then we're sort of saving up for like future life. We're just both very sensible grown-up people, I think. We're just kind of, you Someone know, we know be. That this is, I know, this isn't going to last forever. And I think that's a really important thing to keep inside. This is the current norm, but I think we use the term the new norm like it's going to happen forever. And I think this is just the current norm. We're bubbling together at the moment, which is amazing. And then when this lockdown ends, we will go our separate ways again and have to probably just have like lots of mini breaks as and when laws allow it.
Yeah, nice.
We'll just go back to being on Zoom, which, will, you know, we all know I love Zoom. It's been a really interesting one to be in a relationship. I think if I'd still been dating, like still been looking for someone, I probably just would have not done it right now. Because I think it's so hard. I mean, guys, if you're dating at the minute or you're trying to date, head over at Fat Chat Pod. Let us know how it's going. Like dating in a pandemic.
Let's start a thread on the Fat Chat community.
What's the deal?
Yeah. I think actually there is a lot of chat in the Fat Chat community about people who've done a bit of dating around now, actually. So if you are interested and you're not in that community, please do search Fat Chat community on Facebook for our little private slice of squishterhood heaven. I've definitely found on the flip side, as someone who was very much mortgaged and legally bound to someone, I was a bit worried, and I did write a caption about this on Instagram. I was a bit worried about how it would go for Robbie and I to be 24/7 together, because I'm the driver in our relationship. So I was always going to be the one doing all the shopping, taking the cat to the vets, because that cat has got into more scraps than Phil Mitchell on a friggin' week in the Queen Vic. And Robbie also usually would go running several times a day sometimes, but he got injured quite early on into lockdown. So he didn't go running and therefore he didn't really leave the house. Like he was very wary about the virus, very much not wanting to see people. Whereas when it lifted, actually it was my birthday, May 15th, that things lifted a bit. I was then starting to see more friends doing walks, doing photos. Like my friend Rosie off of Rosie Red Corsetry, she had like a socially distanced birthday party in her garden. And Robbie took a little longer before sort of feeling comfortable to do things with friends. He didn't leave the house as much. I worried, because we're both very stubborn, very strong-willed, that we would like come to blows and we would find it really hard. But luckily I think we gave each other enough space and we didn't try and swaddle each other too much. And like we did do our photos and things together. Robbie would come upstairs and do his house parties and his Zooms with like his friendship groups. I didn't try and like join in and be like, hi guys, me here too. Like obviously there are some overlaps with like friends and stuff where we would both be on the same house party or Zoom, but we very much tried to make sure we still independently operated, as well as coming together and having meals together and doing things together. And we went on a walk one day. That was horrific. Never again, unless there's a dog involved or I'm going to the butchers. I have to walk with purpose and intention.
I hear you.
I tried to make him do a workout, and somehow he did use the wine bottles and do the workout, and he was really sore for about 4 days. So that was probably the highlight of my lockdown. Managed to make Robbie sore whilst lifting like 2 kilos of wine bottle. we got into a rhythm, and we have had arguments and stuff, because we do argue as a couple over certain things and get silly and annoyed. But we have been very lucky that we've got a house with a garden, so I've able to be outside and stuff. And I did try and go out and do the shopping, or walk up to the post office, or get away from the house for a little bit as well, and try to be sensitive to the fact that Robbie was, he is home, but he's working, so he's technically not home. I can't just go in and chat to him, which I do find difficult sometimes. I walk into his room and be like, oh, have you seen that the neighbour, blah, 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 blah. And Robbie be like, I am working, go away. we definitely, like, I've seen for some people, they found it, two people working from home, quite stressful. I feel like we've luckily navigated it. We do usually iron out the kinks when they come along, and we kink out the irons. I don't know. But, you know, we try and make sure that we are very vocal if things are annoying us, or we need to sort of cool down on this side of things, or can you be a bit more conscientious about this? So yeah, lockdown 2.0, feeling a bit bleak because it's not the summer anymore, but Robbie's off out running a lot. We're trying to do things, we're trying to cook interesting things, we're just trying to make sure we're still functioning as a relationship, but also functioning on our own as well, which I think is really important.
And guys, obviously we've run through like how we've been coping with lockdown, what we've been up to. We'd love to hear from you as well. So make sure you head over to @FatChatPod and drop us a line, or join the Fat Chat community and let us know how lockdown's been going for you. Obviously, you know, Instagram, social media, they are our highlight reel. Mm-hmm. And don't feel like you have to be like acing lockdown. You don't have to learn a new skill or a new talent or bake new things or cook new things. You can just survive it, and that's okay, because we're in a global pandemic. Mm-hmm. It's really, really, really okay to just work out who you can offload to, recognize that people cope differently, and you don't have to be baking banana bread or other delicious baked goods. But if you do, save some for me and George. Yeah,
please. So we just thought we'd round this off by talking about three things that we have actually weirdly enjoyed about lockdown. And then three things that we're looking forward to when, you know, all of this lifts and life is very much back to normal. So Rivki, kick us off with your three things that actually weirdly lockdown has either made you appreciate or you've slightly enjoyed.
Weirdly, like no travelling. Mm-hmm. I did really well going abroad pre-pandemic. I actually went on like three trips at the end of 2019, start of 2020. Mm-hmm. But I've actually really enjoyed not traveling anywhere, really not having to go to work mm-hmm. in like an office environment, not having to take the tube, losing that FOMO of not doing stuff and seeing everybody else going on amazing things. Mm-hmm. So I've really enjoyed kind of being a bit more of a homebody, because I think my life was just so mentally busy and I was always out. So it's quite nice to not be out. Mm-hmm. I've loved shopping local. Mm. It was something I always wanted to do, but being in a household, it wasn't always my choice of where we shopped. And I've really enjoyed shopping with local produce. I mean, I live in the city, so not local produce, but shopping from local retailers and things mm-hmm. and supporting small business. I've actually really enjoyed spending some time with the family. It's been intense. We've always had our moments, but I think you always do with family. But it's actually been really nice to all of us just be at home and not be ships passing in the night, which I think when I first started dating Dan and going out for work as much as I did, I'd often only really see my family at the weekend. So actually it's been really lovely to spend a really solid block of time with them.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
What about you?
I definitely agree with you on the FOMO thing. I definitely, when I was younger, would want to go out on every night I had off. And then when I got a bit older and like I stopped drinking, I would often say no to nights out because I'm just an old fuddy-duddy, and I'd be like, oh, I don't really want to be tired tomorrow and like have to be in a bar where everyone's drunk and whatever else. But then I would still get the FOMO from not being out. So I feel like the no FOMO of like a weekend and everyone doing stuff and being out. I sound like such a fuddy-duddy. Don't get me wrong, guys. I did go out once every 2 months, if that. Weirdly, wearing a mask has been something I've quite enjoyed, mostly because it covers most of my face and I don't have to worry about, I don't know, just, you know, sometimes you don't have to put lipstick on if you've got the rest of the makeup on. Like if I'm conscious about my chins that day, they're well covered by the mask. You can just feel almost like done because the mask is covering, you know, that part. I'm covering, sorry guys, the mask is covering that part of the face. I have enjoyed it. Make masks the new thing, please. And I have, I mean, not so much now because obviously the winter is upon us, but I really enjoyed like working on my tan and relaxing in the garden in the summer, but also just working on like my skincare and looking after my hair. I've forever got some kind of face mask. I've been doing a lot of pore cleansing, putting a hair mask in, because you don't have to worry that you're going to go out. And even if you are going out and you've got a hair mask in, I don't think people really care. Just, you know, clip your hair up and wrap all the sort of like conditioned bits in and it doesn't matter. So I've really tried to work hard on not wearing makeup much, like just for photos and things, and like taking care of my skin and doing all the treatments and using all the beautiful stones to like push skincare into my face. You know, it's been nice to work on all of that. So I'll come out of lockdown fresh face, but with a mask on. And what would you say are the three main things? I mean, aside from, you know, giving people a hug, I guess, what are the three things that when lockdown is over, you are going to be looking forward to so much?
I think there are three things that I'm really looking forward to once lockdown has finished. And I suppose actually these three things aren't really like lockdown's finished. This is like when socially distancing and like life has kind of returned to a bit more of a semblance of normality. As much as I've enjoyed not travelling, I'm really looking forward to travelling again. Just doing things that are like really normal, or exploring, or going abroad with Dan, like picking a honeymoon, yeah, that kind of stuff. Wedding dress shopping. I mean, that's something I'm going to have to do before social distancing ends. I tried to go wedding dress shopping and they said I could only go with someone from my bubble, and then I panicked, so I just cancelled the appointment.
Oh, bless you.
And so I was like, I don't really know what to do. So yeah, as soon as lockdown ends, I actually really need to get on that, because we're getting married in the summer. And then this one is incredibly specific.
Okay.
I'm really looking forward to going back to a restaurant called El Pastor, which is a Mexican restaurant in Coldrops Yard in King's Cross. And we went there 2 weeks before lockdown started, one of mine and Dan's last meals out, and like the drinks were incredible and the food was just spot on. I dream about the tuna tostada. I dream about the food. And I can't wait to go back there. I remember we sat really close to the sink and they had a bottle of Carex, and we got in and we washed our hands because it was when everyone was just talking about hand washing and stuff. And so it's quite a vivid memory in terms of this was one of the last pre-lockdown meals, and I love Mexican food. So El Pastor is top of my list of places I want to go eat when lockdown ends.
Nice. I want to go there. That sounds great. For me, I would say my three things that come to mind are going to gigs or going to the theatre. One of the last things I actually did before lockdown, because again, they were making jokes about hand sanitizer and things like that, was I went to the comedy club with some friends. And I think back then it was still a little bit of a like, oh, make sure you've got your hand sanitizer. And I think we're going to need masks. I think this was in February we maybe went, and it didn't feel real. It didn't feel that it would happen. Then I think maybe a few weeks later we were in lockdown. I was also meant to go and see My Chemical Romance, who are one of the best bands in the world. That's been postponed till next year. So hopefully that go ahead. Just various theatre shows, like Robbie and I are actually meant to be going to the theatre in a few weeks. We will see if that goes ahead. It's a show called All the Roles I Will Never Play, and it's basically all sorts of performers playing roles they would never play. If I was in it, I'd probably play the Phantom. When else am I going to be cast as the Phantom? You know, so that's going to be hopefully a really fun and good night out. Going to an actual full theatre and it being a regular experience, that's what I want. Just the idea of like not thinking before leaving the house. Like Robbie and I yesterday did some photos in town, but we parked in a car park and had to go through a shopping centre to go. And we just walked about 2 metres from the car before I was like, oh, we haven't got our hand sanitizer, we haven't got our masks. Just not having to think about backing away from people, or when you touch that door handle, sanitize your hands. Obviously, we should all be clean and safe, and that's something I hope carries on forever. Let's all carry hand sanitizer around. But just making sure you're conscious of people when you walk past in the street, and like you don't want to worry people by being too close. That overthinking, I'd like that to go and just be back to normal and touch strangers, really. The last thing is relaxing on a train journey. I've only caught one train in, well, I got the train into London and back. All the other times when I've gone into London or gone to see people, I've driven. I drove to Wandsworth, I drove to Brixton, these are all terrifying drives, because I just didn't want the panic of being on the train and masking up. You know, I would just like that sort of relaxed way of traveling to be back. Basically, I don't want to have to drive anymore because I'm a little bit over driving. But, you know, just all the things that we took for granted, we are being safe and things should be safe. And I'm not saying, oh, the trains, you shouldn't have to wear a mask. Definitely, if you're on a train, guys, wear a mask over your nose, over your mouth.
If you can, obviously. Some people are exempt.
Yeah. With which is great, actually, the lanyards, the green lanyards with the sunflowers. Very good idea to whoever came up with that. But yeah, I'm just looking forward to not thinking, really. And that's that. It will happen, guys. Hopefully we'll be listening. You've just found this podcast. The year is 2021. And you're like, that's a distant memory. We can do all those things. Let's manifest that is going to happen.
Let's hope. And that's all we've got time for this week. If you want to join the conversation, make sure you join the Fat Chat community over on Facebook, or find us at Fat Chat Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. This has been a Secret Recordings podcast, and we have new episodes every Tuesday. Don't forget to subscribe to wherever you're listening to us. And if you're on Apple, don't forget to rate us 5 stars and leave us a review, because we love reading them. And we also read them out on here, so you might get a cheeky little shout out.
So this one has come in from Fiona NZ, and she has said, love it. I've been enjoying this podcast since it started, and each episode is full of laughs, great chat and discussions to get me thinking. The girls are genuine, real and honest, and it feels a bit like a phone call with friends and not listening to a podcast. I mean, that is what we want. We want it to
that
feel like you're just
so lovely,
part of the conversation. So thank you so much. That's honestly
thank
like made
you.
Us chuffed. As I've said before, we always share these in our WhatsApp group, and honestly, we're always really chuffed to read these things. So thank you so much, Fiona.
And that's all we've got time for.
See you next Tuesday.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with Smart Card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.